From the people who bring you Charleston Home & Design Magazine, the Charleston Home & Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, the Charleston Fall Home Show, CharlestonHomeAndDesign.com, and TryAnInteriorDesigner.com. This is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. I'm Michael Blaze with Five Star Real Estate, and this is Talking About a Home.
I've forgotten how it feels with the carpet under my seat. It's the polyester fibers that wrap around my feet. Feels like home. Oh, 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 oh.
Good afternoon. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home & Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. Today's home theme song is Home by Dan Kroll, in addition to the great Chris Isaacs Talking About a Home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Lily Redstone. In addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home & Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the two custom home shows we organize, the Charleston Home & Design Show, which happens every January, and the Charleston Fall Home Show, which is coming up August 27th through the 29th at the North Charleston Convention Center. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to be talking to architect David Hill with Innova Architecture, and he has a very interesting perspective because in addition to him being an architect, he also previously was a general contractor, had his own custom home building business, and focusing on green homes, green built homes. We'll also be talking to Paul Hume. He's with JI Small Engine Repair, and he has got an amazing new franchise that you definitely want to check out. Anybody who might be interested in buying a golf cart, try a golf cart on steroids. That's what Paul Hume with JI Small Engine Repair sells. The brand is Envy, and the N and the V stand for neighborhood vehicles. But if you go to their website, it's envy.com. Envy. So he's got these awesome new neighborhood vehicles that he just picked up the franchise for. And then finally, we'll be talking with Ben Walters with Carolina Lanterns and Lighting, and they have a big sale going on this month at their outlet center off of Clements Ferry Road. But I wanted to take a moment. Have you picked up the new issue, our winter 2021 issue of Charleston Home & Design Magazine? It's got Dr. Eddie Irons on the cover. And just about everybody knows who Dr. Eddie is. That's how he's kind of referred to. And he has an amazing home in historic downtown Charleston. It was built in the 1700s, and we take our readers inside that his home. It's our winter issue is also our big swimming pool feature, and so we've got some of the top pool companies in Charleston showing off their best work in the pages of Charleston Home & Design Magazine. So if you're thinking about buying having a swimming pool installed, get on the list. One of the swimming pool companies that you saw that you'll see in the pages of Charleston Home & Design Magazine right after the first of the year. I've never seen this before. They were issued 13 building permits just for swimming pools just in the Mount Pleasant area. And so the swimming pool companies are incredibly busy. chalk that up to COVID and people spending their time at home and not spending dollars traveling. So they're devoting their dollars to creating a great space at home with a new swimming pool. The winter issue is also our kitchen, our big kitchen feature, and we take you in some of the best newly built or remodeled kitchens in the Charleston area, and we tell you exactly who is responsible for the work, so you can get the work done that you want on your kitchen. And then we also have a great side story that goes with that, where we take you into the kitchens of several of Charleston's best chefs, and you can get the recipes that they like to cook at home at charlestonhomeanddesign.com, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, and just click on the blog and you'll find all those recipes right there. Have a great weekend. And joining us on the phone right now is architect David Hill with Innova Architecture. How you doing, David?
I'm great. Tim, how are you, sir?
Good, thank you. David, take a moment and tell everybody about Innova Architecture.
Well, Innova Architecture is a full services design firm, which means we can handle everything from site selection and conceptual design through, of course, the creation of a new plan, delivery of that, working with a contractor, monitoring construction, all the way to final completion. And within that, we have focused for 20, 30 years now on really trying to deliver common sense approach to green building that makes buildings more durable, healthier, and more efficient to live in.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good deal. This is, I hate to do this, but sometimes anyone who has ever worked with an architect in the past will tell you that if they ever build a new home or they ever do a big remodeling project, they will definitely work with an architect in the future because they experience the value there. But what about the people who have never worked with an architect? How can an architect, just in general terms, help a homeowner?
Well, Tim, that's a good question. I think the reality is that most people won't work with an architect. And, of course, it's my mission and those of all my fellow friends and peer architects to try to demonstrate the value of an architect to folks who have not used them. I think, first and foremost, you become an advocate for the homeowner. You're an advocate in terms of when they're trying to find a piece of property, when they're trying to select a contractor, when they're trying to figure out what kind of kitchen they want or flooring they want, when they have any kind of issues with a homeowners association approval or any kind of permit approvals. We are sort of in the bullpen for the owner to come in and help resolve those kind of issues in a very professional way. And I think second, what you really can't experience, I guess, until you try it or you talk to somebody who's tried it, is that really it's an architect's job to really listen carefully to what the client wants and needs. I sometimes kid with my clients that I'm going to know which side of the sink you put your toothpaste on and your toothbrush versus your partner's side of the sink. And that's because we've all developed sort of lifestyles. And most people wind up living in a home that wasn't conceived to support their lifestyle. So they adapt their lifestyle to that home that they're in. And that's really sort of the quantum leap when you work with an architect to say, well, this is kind of our daily routine. This is our weekly routine. This is what we do in the mornings and the evenings. And we have kids or we don't, or we have pets or we don't, or we like this kind of property or this kind of view or these kind of features. And you really get to customize it to really articulate exactly what you want out of your house.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. And On the flip side of that, and I don't know if you've ever experienced this, I have, but have you ever walked into a house or into a room and you felt sort of claustrophobic, like the room was too small, or, you know, it's not one of those things that maybe comes right to the top of your mind, but you just have this feeling like this is not a good space. And then on the flip side of that, you sometimes you'll walk into a house or a room or a space and it just feels very, very welcoming. There's a lot of maybe tall ceilings or what have you, but they're just, and I over the years I've talked about some houses in our neighborhood that were built on a speculative basis back in early 2000, and it's almost as if there were no architects involved, it was almost like they were designed by a real estate agent who said, we need to have three bedroom, two bath, a separate dining room, and ta da ta da ta da, and we need to fit it all in 2,000 square feet. And when you walk into these rooms, the rooms feel too small, and there's just a kind of a negative feeling. But on the flip side of that, you get a very, very positive feeling when you have worked with an architect and ultimately get to enjoy the benefits of a home that was designed by an architect.
Sure. Sorry, I was just getting a sip of water there. I know what you're saying, and I think what people are experiencing when they walk into, it can be a house, it can be a room, it can be a library, it can be a public square, it can be a supermarket, it can be whatever. When people walk into any kind of space, let's just focus on houses here, and there's something they like about it, and they really often can't put their finger on. I mean, you work in the industry and you're used to many different houses, having been in those, and you get a feel for what is and isn't possible with a much larger sample than most people get to experience. But everyone can walk into a space and say, boy, this really feels good.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Or it doesn't feel as good. And sometimes what I've always wanted to do, I haven't ever had the chance to do this, is to watch somebody go into a house and walk around, and if they come out and say, wow, I really like that, then I want to go right back in there with them and say, tell me about what you like, or maybe even help them articulate that. And I think what that really comes down to is a sense of balance and rhythm and proportion, intentionality in the design of these spaces. Other things kind of come into play, obviously, because we all live and purchase and experience houses within the real world. So we've got a budget, for example. So, in fact, there's a house right around the corner from us that my wife and I have snuck into on a couple of weekends recently just to see how the progress is going. And it's got some very nice spaces in it, but the spaces came at the expense of some very inefficient space planning. So my first thought in that house was that I probably could have built that same house, designed that same house, provided that same experience for probably 75% of the square footage that they took to create all that. And I think that's where, again, we were talking about the value of an architect. Space efficiency becomes a real game of inches, and that's something that we've done for a very, very long time and tried to realize that you can, in fact, take a collection of spaces and work them together to give you that very satisfying experience without having to create a lot of additional hallways. Or in the case of this house, for example, they had just a lot of wasted space upstairs that could have been another room, could have been attic, could have been accessible, could have been all kinds of things. But all that was kind of done in the service of creating this two-story living room space that, again, felt great. It felt right, and I think you're right. It has to do with sort of the, I don't know, more architectural proportions of the ceiling and the space in the room and the way the windows were articulated with that, all that was very nice. So I give them kudos for that, but it certainly, in my opinion, came at the expense of some other efficiencies that could have helped these homeowners get a little bit more out of their budget in other areas, whether it was a cabinet upgrade or flooring or getting that third or fourth bedroom as a den or whatever it is that they needed.
Right. And when you talk about how you could have perhaps have eliminated some of those hallways or what you call wasted space, that drops the, you know, homeowners are very, very familiar with that cost per square foot figure. And so if you're reducing the square feet, you're reducing the cost of the project. And then also you're reducing the ongoing costs associated with that extra space. I mean, that's conditioned space, meaning it has to be heated and cooled, 365 days a year. And that's something that people are very, very aware of. It's not cheap to heat or cool a home, you know, anymore.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. Tim, I worked with somebody a few years back, and they wanted a dining room that would seat 18 people. And interestingly, sometimes people say, come up to me and they say, well, my son or my daughter, they're thinking about being an architect, but they're not that good at math, or they're not that good at drawing, or they're not that good at this or that. And my question is always, how do you think they'd be at marriage counseling?
Right. True.
Because that's one of the rules we play too, is to say, okay, well, let's listen to what one partner wants and the other partner wants, and then let's see if we can work out a way to provide as much of that as possible while also staying within the budget and the bounds of reason, setbacks and limits and all those things that come with building a house. Anyway, this couple wanted a 18-person dining room, and I could tell that was not really a resolved issue between them.
Mm.
And so I just said, well, look, let me ask you a question. When's the last time you had 18 people over for dinner? And they're kind of scratching their heads saying, well, 3 years ago we were at your sister's house. It was about 5 years ago. And I said, when is the next time you anticipate having 18 people for dinner? They said, it won't be this year. It might be next year or the next year. So the point is that ultimately we wound up with a generous dining room. I think it seated 10 or 12. I don't remember when we finished the final design, it was right around in that range. But we also created an open archway between the dining room and the living room space so that every 3 or 4 or 5 years or whatever it was, they could add additional table space and sort of grow into the living room and still seat everybody at the same table.
Mm.
And as a result, that space, along with many others in that whole house that we did, was about 2/3 of the size it would have been.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, you not only have to pay for it the first time, you have to pay to heat it and pay to clean it, and pay to maintain it and pay to repair it. And so it really, I think that's something that at Inova we're very good at, is trying to get the most bang out of a budget and, mm-hmm. and maximize what we can deliver.
Yeah, and sometimes, and this is just so true with human nature. I'm guilty of it, where you love the idea of doing something, but when it comes to the actual execution of it, like for example, the boat show was just last weekend, and I guess the boating industry sold out of boats in 2020 because people were looking for distractions and things that they could do with their families and so forth. So there were a lot of people who said, I love the idea of boating, but maybe when they got out there at low tide and ran into an oyster bed or something like that, it wasn't such a great experience, but they love the idea of the experience of boating. And sometimes that's true when it comes to your house. You have certain ideas that the reality is they may not actually be executed on a frequent basis, kind of like what you were talking about with the dining room area. Well, David, you're both an architect and a builder, and talk about your background, kind of straddling both sides of that.
Well, sure, and let me just clear this up. We are not building anymore. We built for about 20 years, and we got into construction because one thing we haven't talked as much about is what we're really all about at Innova is not just being good marriage counselor or good in space efficient design, but what we're really all about is building buildings that are green and sustainable, and doing that again in a very common sense and cost effective way. And what we found 20 something years ago before we started building was that we'd approach a builder and they'd say, well, I don't know anything about what you're talking about, so I'm just going to add 50% to the cost of the building or something. Whoa, that's not the right way to approach this.
Right.
We found ourselves in sort of virtual arm wrestling matches with builders. And certainly there's a lot of builders out there who, especially now, 20, 30 years later, they get it. But back then there was not. And we said, you know what, we're just going to have to do this ourselves. And so at the time we went out and got our general contractor's license. I had an unlimited license, which technically meant I had a piece of paper somewhere said I was qualified to build a skyscraper, which, of course, I never intended to do and would never do. We were just focusing on homes and light commercial projects. But I think what that helped us do was sort of establish a few benchmarks, at least here in the region, that, in fact, you could, by simply making good choices. I mean, a lot of people, when they hear about green building sustainability, they think, wow, I'm going to have some sort of whirligig on my roof, or what's it going to look like with all these solar panels on the building? And certainly that's part of green building design. But so much more of it, 90% or more, is just making good choices. We found that we could buy windows that gave us the performance we wanted at a lower price. And oh, by the way, at the end of the day, the windows just looked like windows in everybody else's house. We found that we could make flooring choices, appliance choices, cabinet choices, paint choices, insulation choices that would really greatly improve the energy performance of a home. And that could all be done within a traditional budget, that there was not an upgrade in cost. Now, yes, if we put photovoltaic panels, solar panels up on the roof, that's going to cost you something a little bit more. But so many of the decisions we could make really are just the common sense decisions you're going to make in the selection of materials and finishes and systems in a house anyway. And so I think that's really was the great benefit, was that becoming a builder really tied us into sort of the main line of material supply and material selection. It's more of a, sometimes can be more of an abstract exercise for a lot of design firms, but I mean, we've actually gone to the manufacturers, we've gone to the lumber yards, we've picked out these materials, and that helped us be better architects. And I think that as an architect, I was a better builder because we remembered to keep the priorities in mind that sort of initiated the project. What was special and important about this piece of property? What was special and important about this particular room or configuration or the kind of lighting they wanted? I don't know. It kind of both ways gave us, sort of expanded our creativity and also brought a real note of common sense and see those hands kind of, let's get this problem figured out and get it done and delivered and make some decisions here. One thing we would always say to our clients, and I go back to what you're talking about, the idea of something sometimes is better than the reality of it. So occasionally we'd get some requests that were a little unusual for people's houses. And at the end of the day, it's their house. And we wanted to give them what they wanted, but I always felt like it was my responsibility to say, well, you know, Tim, I think this is a really cool idea and we can make it work. But just understand that one day you are going to sell this house, or your estate will. Somebody is going to be looking at this house for purchase someday in the future. So what do you think about that as far as it eventually hitting the marketplace? And I think that, that always kind of helped to bring the conversation around to what made sense, not just for them while they're in it, but also for their guests, family, visitors while they're in it, and, you know, for future marketplace viability.
Well, they don't call it a dream home for nothing, right?
Yeah. You know, that's what we see a lot of times is a lot of our – we've worked with clients in every demographic and every age bracket. But I think what we saw more than anything else was people would have their first couple of homes. And what I said earlier about adapting your lifestyle to fit that home, everybody's had that experience. Mm-hmm. And I really don't like the laundry room being right here. This is very inconvenient for me in the way we live, and the way we do our laundry, whether it's scheduling or hauling clothes back and forth or where you fold it. If a guy has a couple homes that they move into over the years, they might be already built or a new subdivision. And then it always seems like it would the greatest bell curve for our demographic, for our clients, seems like it's been people in their third or fourth home that are like, okay, now I know what I want out of a home. Then how do I get there? And that's kind of where we would step in.
Mm-hmm. Well, David, we're almost out of time, but I wanted you to tell our listeners, we've been focusing on residential construction as it relates to you being an architect, but talk about some of the other services that you offer at Innova Architecture.
Well, I've had kind of an interesting career. I spent the first 10-15 years doing nothing but commercial work. And then I spent the next 10 or 15 years doing almost nothing but residential work. And so I've done a little bit of everything over the years. And I used to say I've done everything but a prison. But actually, a couple of years ago, I worked on a prison. And it was a very different project, and that'll be the subject of another conversation, I'm sure. But so when we got Innova established, we decided that we would cover kind of both of those bases. We'd look at commercial projects, so I've done churches and schools and offices and meeting centers and municipal buildings and parks. We'd also focus on residential, single-family and multifamily homes, because just like being a contractor and an architect kind of informed both of those sides and made us better at both. I really think that what we learn from our commercial projects really translates into sort of new insights for residential in terms of materials and systems, and vice versa, what we've learned in residential about customer care and sort of communication, dialogue, problem resolution, creativity, translates right back over to the commercial side. So it's just kind of an exciting place to be.
Well, good deal. Well, we have a wide variety of listeners, people that are interested in both residential, and a lot of times they own businesses and are looking to have commercial structures built. So that's good to know that you can help them as well. What's the best way to contact you, David Hill, at Innova Architecture?
Well, of course, our website is InnovaArchitecture.com. My email is dhill@InnovaArchitecture.com. And probably the best number to reach me at is 843-377-3766. And we are we're ready to work on some projects. We're excited about all the new directions we're taking and look forward to talking to some people.
All right, great. Well, we have been talking with architect David Hill with Innova Architecture. Thanks so much, David.
Thank you, Tim. I appreciate talking to you again.
And joining us on the phone right now is Paul Hume with JI Small Engine Repair. How you doing, Paul?
Hey, I'm good, Tim. How about you today?
Not too bad. Appreciate you asking. Paul, we're not going to talk about the small engine repair part of your business. We're talking about an exciting new venture that that JI Small Engine has got going on. You folks have just taken on the NV electric neighborhood vehicle franchise here in Charleston, and take a moment and tell our listeners about the NV electric neighborhood vehicle.
Yeah, not a problem, Tim. First of all, what we're a neighborhood small engine repair shop that got good enough at doing repairs that we decided we'd start to sell things. Unlike the average store out there that's a store that may or may not fix things, we are a repair shop that decided to sell things. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, we were looking for product that gives our customers what I would call the best value for their dollar. And the best value for your dollar is the total cost of a purchase always involves not only what you buy, but what it takes to keep it running, and what, if anything, you may get out of it when you sell it. That would be the total cost of ownership. So we're always looking for products that are built better than anybody else, that are easier to work on and keep up and running than other people, and that's what brought us to the neighborhood vehicle. It's a sister company to the zero-turn Spartan zero-turn that we sell, which is easily the fastest-selling, fastest-growing, best in the market. And this product is similar to a golf cart in general size, but it's a completely different machine. This machine has a total metal frame to it that covers the top, the bottom, and the sides, not just a chassis like a regular golf cart. It's got independent suspension, power steering, so that your wife will like driving it as much as anybody else. It's a big, gnarly machine. It'll go on-road or off-road. It'll tow a trailer, but it'll take four people comfortably down the highway at 20 or plus miles an hour.
Gotcha.
And you can take this machine and drive it right off-road, right out onto the beach, and you won't get stuck.
Nice. And I'm looking at the NV neighborhood electric vehicle website, Ride with NV, and NV is spelled the way you if you were envious of someone, that ridewithenv.com. And I'm not totally familiar with a lot of the terminology, but it looks like a golf cart. It also sort of looks like those four-wheel drive, are they called gators?
Yep. Well, it is a cross between a utility vehicle and a golf cart. It's electric. It's two-wheel drive. It's got a ton of power. It's virtually silent. But it is definitely a comfortable four-person vehicle like a utility vehicle would be. It's a little bit wider, a little bit more stable, and it's really built for anybody to drive. My wife loves ours.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And did you say that it's four-wheel drive or two-wheel drive?
It's two-wheel drive.
Okay, I gotcha. And can you go off-road or just on the pavement?
Absolutely. If you're driving down the street and somebody points off to the side, you can go up over the curb and keep on going and not even feel it.
Nice.
The independent suspension on this makes it a unique vehicle all the way around.
And I think you mentioned before, but I want to follow up. How fast can this go on the streets?
The base is set up as a golf cart, will go up to 20 miles an hour, which is the legal limit. Set up as a low speed vehicle, it'll go 25, which is the legal limit. That's something that I can control within the computer system.
Okay.
And mentioning the computer system, Tim, this vehicle does not have a key. It has a 7-inch touchscreen built in the dash. It allows you to start it, stop it, and completely control it with touchscreen on a computer. You also can have more than one code to run the machine. So therefore, if you have a 15-year-old or an 85-year-old and you want to let them run it, but you don't want them to go 20 miles an hour, you can set their code so that it only goes 14 miles an hour or whatever you choose.
Oh, wow. And it comes with turn signals built in and everything?
It comes with turn signals, emergency lights, horn, high beam, low beam lights. It has storage under the hood in the front, unlike anybody else. It has storage under the seats in the back and even a cooler built in the back.
And that's interesting that going back to what you said about the electric start, it has no key. I was surprised a year or two ago we needed to get an extra key for our golf cart and was told that the keys for golf carts are universal and that and you can buy one key and it basically fits into any golf cart, which some people have had their golf carts stolen that way too.
Absolutely. A club car fits a club car, a Yamaha fits a Yamaha, and one key will move them all around. This gives you the ability to change it, and you can change it at will. So if it's in a rental situation, you have it at a rental house for someone to use, you can change the code in between renters if you'd like to make sure that nobody else has it.
Gotcha. And talk about why you picked up the franchise to sell the Envy. What attracted you to it?
It really started with the zero-turn mowers we sell, which is their sister company in Spartan. And what impressed us with those were they were super heavy-duty built with the least amount of parts, which made them way simpler to keep running, way less expensive to fix if and when there was a problem. Well, they took the same philosophy to the neighborhood vehicle. It's heavy duty, way more than it needs to be, but way more comfortable than it needs to be. It's probably got the nicest seats of any similar vehicle in the market, but it's laid out very simple. It has the charger built right in, so you don't have to have an extra charger around your house. That means if you drive it to a neighbor's and you look like you're low on charge, and it will tell you to the tenth of a mile how much further you can go on your charge. When you get there, you can just plug it in while you're sitting there talking to them and recharge it back up. There's nothing extra involved in it.
Well, golf carts are becoming incredibly popular as an option, and it's almost kind of a special thing that you know you might be sitting around the house and go, hey, do you want to go for a golf cart ride? In this case, you want to go for a ride on the Envy. And it's kind of an adventure. It's you've got the wind blowing and it's just kind of a fun thing as opposed to getting in your car that you do every day. Is that kind of what your customers are telling you?
Well, of course, Tim, we're seeing that, but the reality too is that more and more places, especially in the outdoor environment that we live in, more and more people would rather be outdoors. And so if you're just running down the street to the store, you'd probably be more apt to jump on your golf cart or your neighborhood vehicle and run down there than you would be to jump in your car and start it up and drive it down the road.
That's true.
So we're seeing a lot of people using it on a day-to-day basis.
I know that there's some incentives through the government for if you buy like an electric car. Are you aware of any of those kinds of incentives for tax credits and what have you for the Envy?
No, I'm not aware of anything like that, Tim. However, we do offer financing for anybody who needs it.
Okay, good deal. Yeah, and then also you offer some very special options to people that might be interested in buying the Envy. You've been very kind to offer to me and some of our staff the opportunity for a free weekend test drive. If someone was interested in buying an Envy, is that something you'd be able to do for them?
Absolutely, Tim. We're trying to get a machine out there. We've got the best machine on the market and certainly at the best price point. And we want to get it out. And we know that the best way to do it is to get you in it, whoever you happen to be.
Mm-hmm. Good deal. Well, Paul, how can folks get more information about the Envy and JI Small Engine Repair?
Well, you can go to the Envy's website, which is www.ridewithenvy.com. Mm-hmm. And remember, Envy stands for neighborhood vehicle, but they did put an E in front and a Y in the end to complete the word. So it's ridewithenvy.com.
Okay.
And also, JI Small Engine Repair, we have an internet presence. But even more to the point, give us a call and come on over and take a look. Or give us a call and I'll bring it over to you and you can take a look. We don't mind.
All right, terrific. And you can find JI Small Engine Repair with the Envy vehicle in the pages of Charleston Home and Design magazine and at charlestonhomeanddesign.com. All right, terrific. Well, we have been talking with Paul Hume with JI Small Engine Repair, the exclusive dealer for the Envy neighborhood vehicle. We really appreciate it, Paul. Thank you.
Yep. Okay. And Tim, phone number is 843-718-0828.
All right. We got it. Thanks so much, Paul. And now joining us on the phone is Ben Walters with Carolina Lanterns and Lighting. How you doing, Ben?
Good, Tim. How are you today?
Good. Thank you. Ben, take a moment. Tell everybody about Carolina Lanterns and Lighting.
Sure. Carolina Lanterns and Lighting started 20 years ago out of a dream from our previous owner, Jan Klaus, who desired to have some elegant lighting, handcrafted lanterns on the outside of her home, and couldn't find the actual thing that she wanted to until she discovered it from a local coppersmith. And we've been in business with that coppersmith ever since and continue to do business with them. And our business has grown over the years from the trunk of a car to three different locations. So we are pleased and thankful that Jan started the business and that the business continues on.
Well, good deal. And I love when I see businesses that grow organically over the years and they keep on adding new products and services. And as it relates to Carolina Lanterns and Lighting, you folks used to be called Carolina Lanterns, and now your name is Carolina Lanterns and Lighting. And talk about that portion of the business.
Sure, Tim. So that's supply and demand. We've had a lot of people in the community that desired for us to carry more products than just our lantern lines. I mean, our lanterns are amazing. They're handcrafted here in the United States by local artisans, and we can pretty much do whatever you can come up with as far as a drawing and be able to create something brand new for you. But we saw a need. We saw a need in the marketplace. We saw a need from our clients and our customer base. So we started carrying things like fans, pendant lighting, chandeliers, and now we're actually into whole house fixtures. So we're able to do everything from the rough inside with can lighting, trims. We're able to do everything from fans in the bathroom to the most elegant design you can think of hanging over your dining room table. So if it lights up and it kind of goes with the flow of what it looks like for building a house or remodeling or just even replacing a bath bar in the vanity, we can able to help our customers' needs with that.
What would you say sets Carolina Lanterns and Lighting apart as far as the types of lighting, the styles that you folks carry compared to some of the other lighting stores in town?
Sure. So we try to stay on top of what the market trends are every year. In fact, there's always two markets that happen, and we are always a part of them to make sure that we know what the new trends are. But we also are wise enough to listen to our customers and to hear what their desires are. So if you walk into our showroom, if you walk into our outlet, or if you go over down into the Bluffton area and visit our little satellite store there, you'll see multiple different trends that are available. And the thing that I believe sets us apart more than the designs is the fact that we have a great sales staff that is extremely knowledgeable, and we're here to help meet your needs. It's not a product that we're trying to push. It's really something that we desire, that at the end of the day, our customers are happy and they've had a great experience with us and they're pleased with the lighting that they have in their home.
We'll talk about the lighting specialists at Carolina Lanterns and Lighting, and do they have to go through any kind of specialized training?
They do. We have both in-house training and we have training that comes from from different vendors that we supply. But the biggest thing that we have is what's called ALA training, and that's a lighting association that we are connected to, that all of our specialists go through that so that we are able to make sure that we supply exactly what our clients need. I mean, for example, if you've got a 12-foot ceiling, we don't want to just sell you a fan that has a 2-inch down rod. We want to be able to sell you a fan that has the correct size down rod, so you have the correct airflow in your room, as well as if it comes to different kind of can lights, to make sure that we are able to space them out properly with your architect and be able to redline the things that we need to so that your house is illuminated properly.
If someone is building a new home, or maybe they're doing a whole house renovation or putting an addition on, will the Carolina Lanterns and Lighting staff, will they actually go to the job site to do a walkthrough?
Yeah, Tim, we provide everything from the first stage to the end. So you get your plans from your architect, from your builder. You come on in and we sit down and match you with a specialist to make sure that we hear exactly what your needs are. We begin the process before you even begin the building site. And what we want to do is we want to make sure that we get in front of any of the things that may or may not happen. Lighting, for some reason, it can be fickle and it can be fabulous. And so therefore, we want to make sure that we supply the exact thing that we can. So when people come in with their plans, they sit down, we match them with one of our specialists. Once that building gets to a place where we can go in and do a walkthrough, we will actually go in and make sure that the fixtures make sense, that they actually go in the right places. From there, we'll double check the styles with all of our clients. And finally, we'll place the orders that actually need to happen. And then from there, we deliver them, we label the boxes in what room they need to go in to try to make it easy for the builders and the electricians. And finally, we complete the process by making sure as we do a final walkthrough that everything is in the right place and that it looks right.
Nice. You know, it seems like when it comes to lighting, it's sort of an art and a science. And the science is kind of what you've been describing in terms of determining the amount of lighting that's needed in the different rooms, and then you know what wattage of lighting and so forth that will be going in those different areas. And then of course the art is the beautiful fixtures that Carolina Lanterns and Lighting ultimately is installing in these different homes. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate. I mean, there's some tips to lighting that people really don't know until you kind of get into the flow of what you're trying to do. And first one is, lighting needs to be layered. So you have to have layered lighting in a room in order for a room to actually be illuminated properly. People don't usually walk into a room and say, wow, it's too bright in here. Usually they say it's too dark, they can't see.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're always trying to add more lighting to it. And so if you don't layer the lighting, you really won't ever be able to illuminate the space correctly. The second thing is the light bulb. Sounds simple, sounds easy, but there are so many different types of light bulbs out there that it can start to become confusing. And one of the things we make sure our clients realize is we want your house not only to illuminate properly, but we want it to actually flow properly. Because if you have one light bulb in one room that's got a soft yellow tone to it, and you walk out into the hallway and it's a bright white, it clearly looks like you're living in two different sections of the house. Mm-hmm. Rather than a flow of what really needs to happen. So we try to make sure that our clients understand that. We supply those light bulbs for them as well on their orders, and we try to make sure that every single fixture in the house, from the can lights all the way down to the last one you screw in on a vanity light, it all kind of flows and goes well.
Are most or all of the lighting fixtures that Carolina Lanterns and Lighting sells these days, are they all LED?
They're LED compatible. Mm-hmm. Most of them. So, I mean, if you get LED light bulbs, of course, that helps on the financial side with keeping your bills lower, but they also last a lot longer. So, we don't really do the halogen light bulbs anymore, mainly because it produces the heat as well as the wattage that it kind of takes away from the electric bill and kind of causes that to go up. So, we use LED light bulbs from a supplier that is out of the United States, and we are very thankful that we get to partner with them.
The cost of LED lighting and bulbs has really come down quite a bit, hasn't it?
It has. It's extremely more affordable than what it used to be, and that's because the technology inside of the light bulbs have actually caught up to the times. Where before it took a bigger component or a bigger transformer inside of the light bulb or the light fixture itself, now those transformers are a lot smaller. It's very easy just to put them in, and therefore they just are able to produce them at a lot lower cost.
Nice. And I guess it's better to have the option of LED light bulbs, you can't really, at least I cannot tell the difference between an LED and an incandescent light bulb that people might still have in their house. But it's nice to have the option of putting in an LED or a traditional light bulb if they choose to have that in their home. And some fixtures, I guess, won't run anything but LED. So that's good to have that option. What's hot these days? What are you seeing that the people that are building homes in Charleston and come and visiting Carolina Lanterns and lighting? What are you seeing the types of fixtures styles that they're choosing?
Yeah. So the trends are really all over the place. But the biggest things that we're starting to see is two-tone fans that are white and gold or black and gold. They'll have the solid color on the blades, but maybe the body motors is a different color. We're also seeing a lot of two tones in the chandeliers that we're selling right now, black and gold, black and silver, white and gold. It really depends on the flavor of the individual and kind of what they like, their style. But those are the things that are really coming off the floor right now, and we're actually seeing a lot of those to be sold. And one of the things that we've been very thankful to see happen is a lot of our coastal has really been picking up lately, and we have a great supplier of some oyster shells that come straight out of local in Buford, and we've been doing a lot of pendants and custom pieces when it comes to that, and they have been absolutely spectacular and beautiful to be able to see them come together.
Oh, that's nice. I bet a lot of we have a lot of newcomers to the area. They are building homes and buying homes and remodeling, and a lot of them may not have ever lived on the coast, and so they want to try to capture that look, the coastal look in their own homes. Maybe they'll buy some plantation shutters and then to get the some of the lighting fixtures that have oyster shells that are integrated into the design. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty spectacular to be able to see them in the homes.
Well, Ben, Carolina Lanterns and Lighting has a big sale coming up starting February 1st. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. So one of the branches that we have is we have an outlet store located right off of Clements Ferry Road, off of 526, just about 2 miles from there. The outlet center carries everything from pendant lighting to fans to chandeliers to even some of our handcrafted lanterns. And so what we do here is we try about once or twice a year to pull all the stock out that we have and be able to sell it at a discounted rate. And what I like to call it is basically it's designer products at a discounted cost. Not going to be able to find the cost anywhere locally. In fact, if you're looking for anything from a bath bar to a vanity light to some pendants over the counter, this is the time to come shopping and come looking at what we have, because it's a spectacular thing. And the deal that we're trying to do is to really help out those that are local, and the fact that we're doing 25% off your entire order. So whatever you need, hopefully we have it here, and you can come in at the whole month of February, and we're going to give that out to the local community just as our way to try to say thank you for your business, thank you for shopping local, and thank you for being a part of what Carolina Lanterns is trying to do.
Oh, that's great. That's my hat's off to Carolina Lanterns and Lighting for having that kind of a mindset. What kinds of when it comes to the outlet center for Carolina Lanterns and Lighting, are these like one-offs or fixtures that maybe have an open box or maybe a dent here or there, or will people be able to buy like a full set of lighting that will, you know, match in a room or other rooms?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's not a scratch and dent sale. These are brand new fixtures, either right out of the box, or if we have multiples, which most of the things we do, the boxes of the multiples are right underneath where that fixture is located here in the outlet. So if somebody's coming in looking for two or three reading lights, we've got those. They match. They're the same. If they're looking for pendants, we've got the same thing as well. We try to stock anywhere between 3 to 4 of the same type of item here, so that when somebody does come in and they're looking for something, we are able to match that need. And the items that we have are not discontinued, which means we carry them at a discounted rate because we've been able to kind of work with the manufacturers over the years. And most of the time, what you're able to do is you can pull up your phone and see online exactly what somebody else is selling it for, and you'll see that we're anywhere between 15 to 25% cheaper no matter what. And it's just a service that we try to provide. It's not something that is our mainstream of income for our company, but we do believe in giving back, and this is one of the ways that we can give back to our community.
That's great. And I always like to ask this question as it relates to different types of fixtures, whether they be plumbing fixtures or flooring or what have you. Are the customers of Carolina Lanterns and Lighting coming in and requesting certain types of lighting that maybe they've seen online, or are you folks like staying ahead of the trends and introducing these different types of lighting styles to the Charleston area here?
You know, the honest answer to that is both. We've got people that walk through the door and they say, you know, hey, do you carry Regina Andrews line? And the answer is yes. And, you know, but do you have this exact fixture? The answer might be no. And so what we try to do is we try to listen to the voice of our clients and kind of hear what they're doing. And so one of the things that we've tried to do over the years in order to stay ahead of the trends is we try always to make sure that we have the different finishings of the lines that we carry. And as well, it might not be the exact fixture, but we will have one or two of them there so people can actually see it, touch it, feel it, see if it's something that they actually desire to have in their home. And therefore, we're trying to bring those trends to people so that they can see what is new. Kind of like that two-tone fan that I was talking about earlier. I've got a couple of those hanging in the showroom right now, and they just absolutely look superior than all the other fans that are there.
That's great. Good deal. Well, 25% off the entire order starting February 1st through the 28th at the Carolina Lanterns and Lighting Outlet Center. So don't miss that. And how can folks get more information about Carolina Lanterns and Lighting?
Absolutely. You can always go to our website, carolinalanterns.com. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook as well. And we actually have a Facebook for our outlet center that you can follow. We post different pictures of new items that arrive there as soon as we unbox them and put them up for people to see.
Excellent. All right. Good deal. Well, we have been talking with Ben Walters with Carolina Lanterns and Lighting. Thanks so much, Ben.
Thank you, Tim. Talking about a home, talking about a home.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. Talking About a Home is brought to you by the publishers of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and the organizers of the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, and the Charleston Fall Home Show. To make contact with any of the companies featured today, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Home to over 200 local home-related companies motivated to work with you. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next Saturday.